Welcome to Think Wing Radio on KPFT 90.1 FM. We're trying to get a guest, and let's see if I may have him. I don't know if he's on the line or not. Okay, we are going to continue trying to get a guest by the name of Mark Small. You've heard me talking about the writ of mandamus that's before SCOTUS. I apologize, I'm a little distracted. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to proceed here. We have someone calling in. Maybe that's our guest. That would be cool, because if we have our guest, it's going to be a really interesting show. Okay, anyhow, let me try to forge ahead until I see what's going on. Anyhow, the writ of mandamus was something that was put before the Supreme Court. It was considered for the Supreme Court, and the idea was to basically hold a new election or some other remedy. So, Bob, are they... Oh, never mind. Okay, we're going to try to work on this. I'm going to do something that I don't usually do. Bob, could you put on music for a minute so that we can try to work out this guest thing? Just put on the theme. And we're going to try to get this guest on, because without the guest, the show is going to be a little tough. I'll be with you in a minute. Okay, it looks like we are not going to have our guest tonight, though we have definitely tried. Maybe he'll call in. The topic of the show was going to be, and hopefully might still to some extent be, there is a writ of mandamus before the Supreme Court. It was distributed to the justices on Friday. Today they released a denial. They don't give reasons for denials, but the justices reviewed the writ and the legal arguments for the writ, and it was denied. I've been in touch with the people who are bringing the action. There is a lawyer now that is working with them by the name of Mark Small out of Indianapolis, Indiana. And he was supposed to be our guest tonight, but he has had a hard day. He took a red-eye flight, and he's been up since like 3:30 in the morning, and he's on Eastern time. And I guess he just fell asleep on us. He warned me that if that should happen, probably it would take an earthquake to wake him up. So we're going to have to improvise. The good news is that this story is not over, that they are going to be reworking their writ, and they are going to be resubmitting a case to the court. The story was followed originally pretty much solely by Shannon Fisher, who was reporting on it for the Daily Kos. And I have a link to her original article and updates at the bottom as they occurred on my website, thinkwingradio.com. So since I had pretty much built my show around that, and even though I do have several other topics, that was something I was really excited to be talking about. So we have a caller. Bob? We have a caller, Wayne. So I guess, Wayne, you're on the air, and thank you for waiting, and just an unusual way to start the show. I apologize for that. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, Mike. How are you doing? Can I get the radio station to come through? It's got some kind of music on it. Maybe the antenna's acting up again.
No, what happened was it's just me and Bob, and we were both trying very, very hard to try to get this guest. And since I had pretty much built my show around this particular topic, I was a little flummoxed for the first few minutes or so and just really, really wanted to get this guest. This is an important story.
Yes, it is.
I was very excited coming in. I'm sorry?
I said, yes, it is, but I hadn't really been keeping up with it. But go ahead.
Well, I mean, that's what I've been doing. I've been keeping up with it. I've been mentioning this writ a few times. Bob, there's a call coming in. Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're going to have to get the radio straight now, Mike, because it's got some music on there. You're not coming through the radio.
There's music coming through there now?
Hold on. Let me turn it up because I got to turn down.
There shouldn't be music. It's not in my headphone.
Wayne, there's a minute delay, so you may hear your radio.
No, it's been on ever since before you started. It's still on, singing and everything right now.
Is there any possibility, Bob, that we just...
You better go see the ear doctor, Wayne.
Okay, so we got nothing, huh? There's no music? Okay, all right. Bob swears there's no music coming through the radio, so I guess there's no music coming through the radio. Bob says so. Bob, who's on that second line?
I hear you now, but it's still got a background of music in there.
Could you give me a name?
I don't know what's going on.
I can't tell you. Bob is the engineer, and Bob says that there's no music, and I don't hear it on the headset. Does it sound like my regular theme or something else?
Well, the theme song did come on, but then it went back off, and the radio is playing. It's like somebody's, you know, taking over the radio station.
Huh. I know that Bob was looking through some CDs. Maybe he has something that's feeding through.
Yeah, that's what it is, because it's definitely not on my radio. What I'm saying is it's music.
Is it loud enough to be disconcerting? Can we have a conversation around it or not?
Well, yeah, we can have a conversation.
Okay.
But if I got my radio turned up to 17, you should be getting feedback.
Yeah, I am not. Hold on a second.
Turn his radio down and just listen on the phone.
No, he said there's music coming through. Is it possible Bob has anything on the CD?
I'm listening right now.
Okay. I've been told by the master engineer. There is no music, so we don't know what's going on. So tell me what you're calling about, Wayne. Hello? Wayne, are you there? Okay, Wayne has hung up, so I guess we're going to go to MOD. Not the show I had hoped for. MOD, you're on the air. How are you doing tonight?
Good, Mike. I don't want to pee in your Cheerios then.
Oh, man, I'm just...
I'm crushed.
This was going to be a great show. I was so excited. And, oh, man, and the lawyer, I guess, just fell asleep. He had a long day, and I think he just fell asleep.
All righty. Well, how about if I just lay out a little history, and then I'll let you reply, and then if callers come in, I just want to give you some food for thought.
Okay.
Okay, so we know that the International IMF, International Monetary Fund, was created in 1945.
Okay.
And the special drawing rights was also brought into fruition, Bret Woods, in 1969.
SDRs, if I understand correctly, are ways of buying a basket of currencies. So you're not just buying one currency, you're buying a basket of currencies.
International currencies, right?
Right.
And then there was this oil embargo, right, in 1973 or 74?
73, I believe. That was the third Arab-Israeli war. That was sort of the follow-on to the 67 war.
Right, and resulting, not saying because of it, but about the same time in 74, we had this, you know, what's it called, oil embargo, and the OPEC barrel went up 400%, right?
Yeah, which that's a big number, but it went up 400% to like $12 a barrel. I mean, that looks good from here, but it was the size of the increase that just kind of mucked everything up. And I remember it put the United States into like instant recession.
Right.
They had like a 20% drop in car sales. It was the first time ever. Here's an interesting little trivia. It was the first time ever that they put cars on sale. That's when they started. They wanted to actually put cars on sale, and the state governments went, no, you can't do that. Well, without the sales tax, we'll be in even worse shape than we are now. We're in a recession.
Right.
So the auto companies thought about it and goes, well, how about we do a rebate, and that way you can get the sales tax on the full price of the car, but essentially we'll still put the cars on sale.
Right.
So that's why they do rebates instead of just
stimulus.
An incentive. So that, but this way, instead of putting the cars just on sale, they actually allowed the states to take their sales tax and then gave you the rebate. The problem with that was once they had done it once, people learned to wait for the rebates. So now it's the only way they do business. That started in 74 as a direct result of that oil embargo. Just a little bit of history.
That's right. And so not just the United States, Mike, but developing economies throughout the Americas and parts of Europe and in the Middle East wasn't doing too bad. There was some stuff going on, but
there was a war going on. That was the reason for the embargo. Basically,
right.
the OPEC wanted to influence the United States and any other Western countries supporting Israel to stop supporting Israel. That was the reason for the embargo. That's what brought them together as a working cartel.
Right. It was like more like a retaliation.
Exactly that.
Supplying Israel's military.
Yep.
But what I'm trying to say, it wasn't just the United States, but before this third war that you mentioned happened, right?
Yeah.
All these other countries in the world, like Central and South America, were developing economies. And there was, you know, some other coup d'etats going on, you know, down south. But countries were not in debt. And this International Monetary Fund came around with the service delivery out of the Bret Woods.
Bretton Woods. They established fixed exchange rates.
Right. And then what did Nixon went off the gold standard, 71, I believe?
Let me think. Let's see. They had the Bretton Woods Agreement, and the problem with when Bretton Woods was signed up, the United States economy was like 50% of the world's GDP.
Yep.
And we were actually, by having a very, very expensive dollar in terms of other currencies, we were actually subsidizing redevelopment of the war-ravaged countries around the world. It was part of our, prosperity, consumer economies, non-militarized, that kind of stuff. And I think it was in 73 that Nixon basically said, they're just Federal Reserve notes. We'll no longer promise to redeem in gold. And that was partly because the French kept redeeming dollars in gold, and the Americans were getting really ticked off about that.
Okay, so in 69, that was, solidified with, the special drawing rights, Bretton Woods. And then by 73, you're right, Nixon left the gold standard. And then following that the embargo and that, that third war, and all these other countries, Mike, throughout the Americas and parts of the other hemisphere, and Middle East and such, they were not in debt. They didn't have this thing called international monetary loan. And then following the barrel going up 400%, you just explained a use case reference of car sales.
Mm-hmm.
All these other countries had to take an international monetary loan
because oil was and still is priced in U.S. dollars.
Right. So out of the Bretton Woods, out of this thing, I don't want to say it's a certain type of dollar, was created, and that became our SDR, right?
I don't recall that. I know that they stipulate internationally held dollars a certain way, but it's not a different dollar. It's just counted differently because it's outside the country, and it sort of just sloshes around.
And we have the commodity of another, of OPEC, I think. So what I want to try to point is that occurred, right? That's, we both agree.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay, and then Dragon Lady and Reagan came around in the 80s, right, and they started doing this.
Dragon Lady?
I'm sorry, Thatcher. Thatcher and Ronnie.
Oh, Iron Lady. Iron Lady. Well, Dragon Lady, maybe. Yeah.
I didn't look up to her too much. But anyway, both of those characters start pushing out Milton Friedman's austerity, privatization, deregulation.
Yeah. Deregulating airlines, deregulating the phones, breaking
everything up
AT&T. All of that stuff happened,
in the
80s and early 90s.
And the banking savings loans started happening in the late 80s with the Keegan Five.
Yeah, that's another thing. People forget that the last time we deregulated the banks, we ended up having to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to bail out the banks. And then we deregulated the banks, and in 2008 we had to do it again. And it's like, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Guys, you can't deregulate banks. That you just can't.
Yeah. Well, so I want to tell you, if you got someone on the phone, but what I wanted to do was just point out how we started doing these austerity policies in the 80s with Thatcher and Ronnie.
Yep.
And
Thatcher, yes. Ronnie actually was very inflationary because what he was doing was borrowing money and spending it, which actually boosts the economy artificially.
That's right. So what I'm trying to point a picture out and lay out is we have a world, countries that are in debt.
Yes.
To the International Monetary Fund.
Yes, especially developing countries, which have been predatory debt.
And they really, most everybody never came out of the 400% barrel increase following the oil embargo. These developing economies have been paying interest still on International Monetary Fund loans. So what I'm trying to say is, everyone's sort of like, broke and servitude to paying off these interest stuff and all that. And then here comes the austerity posture policies, and now Trump's here, and here we are, and he's doing full force austerity privatization.
Trying policies. To, but of course it has to get through Congress. We'll see.
Okay. All right, so I just want to let everyone chew on that, just lay out a little roadmap how we got here.
Sure.
And was that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I appreciate it.
All right, brother.
All right. You take care. All right. You're listening to now the normal Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1. We had a little trouble getting started, but I think we're going to roll okay now. Bob Gartner is on engineering. You can support KPFT and this show by going to kpft.org and hitting the donation icon. and contributing whatever you can, $5, $50, $500, whatever. We're not proud, but we appreciate whatever you can afford. My website is thinkwingradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at thinkwingradio. And next up, we have Johnny. Johnny on three. And we're trying. There we go, Johnny. You're on the air.
There you go.
Hey.
Well, FYI, there was nothing wrong with your show. When that first caller was mentioning about hearing music, I was listening to the radio, and it sounded normal.
There was
no music, just you and the listener.
Maybe he was getting some bleed over on his radio from another channel. But, yeah, we seemed clean. I checked with Bob. I checked with our engineer. And Wayne is holding. So,
when I was on holding, I didn't hear anything unusual on the hold either.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, Johnny, so
the
tell me what's...
The only thing unusual was the fact that you all kept playing the intro over and over again. Other than that, and everything else is okay.
Yeah, you know, I had such a great show planned, and I think my guest literally fell asleep.
He vexed you, huh?
Yeah,
well,
so we'll try to do it next week.
I stood out here to come to check the vehicles and close them up for the night. I happened to look up and glance at the sky, and I'm seeing all these bright stars and the Little Dipper or the Big Dipper or whatever that thing is. And, you know, in the greatest scheme of things, there's no worries. By the way, you're one of the best interviewers on KPFT. So
well,
that.
Thank you. I wish I had my guest to help validate that, but I appreciate that.
I just validated it for you. I'm a longtime listener. You should take it to the bank.
I appreciate
and
it very much,
another zero to your check.
You know, talking about the sky, there was actually a thing I'd had on my paperwork, which I deleted for this show because I figured I'm not going to need it. But you know that... Elon Musk is saying that next year he's going to send two paying passengers on a round trip around the moon. They're not going to land, but they're going to go to the moon, orbit it, and come back. And
how about we'll chip in to send Trump on a nice long trip in space? Might help his thinking.
With a defective airlock, maybe?
Yeah, well, that, I'll pay extra for that.
Yeah, extra cost option.
The reason why I called is...
Yeah.
I'd like for the next young person who calls into KPFT, either your show or Jeff Berg or whoever, when they talk about that the heritage of this country is slipping and they talk about European, you know, echoing Steve King or Peter King, whoever that guy was, last week, and he's talking about the white culture is what made this country and all this other crap.
Mm.
The thing that they love to talk about European Americans all of a sudden, right?
Yep.
But how come it is when it comes to health care, the European Americans' idea of universal health care never filters through? So my suggestion to you and all the other KPFT hosts is when these young, especially these young guys call in with this attitude, bring up the idea of universal health care and what the Europeans do. And let's try to explore that in their limited view of the world.
Yeah, you know, if you watch TCM, sometimes they'll run these little film shorts that used to be in the theaters as bumpers between the movies. And it's amazing how anti-labor, anti-union, anti-benefits they are. And they frame everything as being communist and socialist. And yeah, it's a real propaganda war. Americans, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm a capitalist. I think that there should be such a thing as social capitalism. We don't have it. I would like to see us develop the concept and implement it. But socialism, you know, people forget socialism is the fire department. Socialism is the police department. Socialism is and should be schools. Socialism is the army. That's all socialism.
And I point and I've brought this stuff up time and again with different people on the Internet, different venues. I've also discussed this with people like Leo Gold, who doesn't disagree with the fact that our country could stand to have a hybrid economy, maybe 60% of it as a goal to be composed of people who make their living in a cooperative.
Okay, Johnny, I have a substitute guest to talk on this Supreme Court issue, so I'm going to let you go. I appreciate your calling, and we're going to... Wayne, I'm going to give apologies to. I will get to Wayne, but this is a topic that we've already lost half the show, and I really do want to talk about it. So, Wayne, forgive me. Be patient with me. I'll get to you. Let's put Shannon on. Okay, this is Shannon Fisher. She has been writing for the Daily Kos. She's been keeping an eye on this writ of mandamus that is before that has been before the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court today denied the petition. How are you doing, Shannon?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing discombobulated. and well, only and only halfway successfully, I might add. All right, so since you've been working this story pretty much alone, why don't you bring us up to date on what's been going on, what it meant, and what you know of what they hope to do from here? And I may try to run this show next week. Maybe we can arrange it a little better.
Sure, sure. Well, I don't really know about their plans for the future from here, but I can kind of bring you up to what has happened to this point.
Okay.
They had several different cases throughout the country.
Now this is Revote2017.org is the organization that I believe is doing this. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And a woman named Gerald Sanders actually wrote the writ, and she was working with that organization at the time, and she has since split off. And Revote 17 was the organization with the petitioners and who was following it through the courts. And so they filed, and essentially the argument is that under Article 4, Section 4 of the Constitution, it is the federal government's responsibility to take care of the United States and to defend our territory. And we have yet to really kind of defend what is cyber territory.
Right.
And so they said, okay, well, we're going to claim cyber territory. I'm hearing an echo for myself. I'm going to put you a...
Yeah, on my end, you sound fine.
Okay, good. This is, the argument for the writ of mandamus was that the federal government had not protected the United States cyber territory from a foreign invasion.
Which is a very, very novel and interesting argument, and it has to, of course, establish the premise of cyber territory.
Exactly. And I think that that's something that even outside of the election and outside of this case, that is an important issue that legally we really have to address. I mean, there is no definition of whether there's no determination of whether cyber territory is considered U.S. territory. And I think that it is, but if it is, then that opens up a whole can of worms of how does the U.S. government protect it and maintain privacy and, I mean, it's a huge, huge issue. And so this case was obviously saying, okay, Russia hacked in and we were invaded by Russia, and there's no legal remedy for that.
And what's interesting is that Comey, FBI Director Comey, was testifying before Congress today. And it seemed to me particularly ironic that given the color of his testimony and the discussion he had that, you know, there are investigations going on about Russian involvement and maybe the involvement of some people in the Trump campaign. And that is the day that the Supreme Court chose to deny the petition.
Right. Well, they actually had the conference on Friday. They meet in private. They don't even allow aides conferences. It's just the justices themselves.
And it just
so
needed
have the conference Friday.
And it just needed four justices to go ahead, so they couldn't get four is what we know.
Right. Yeah. And as you said earlier, they don't write reasons, they don't give opinions when they deny petitions, and so we don't really know what the discussion was or how much the discussion was, and I guess we will never know. So you said that they are planning on continuing. Are they going to? They're going to file a new case with SCOTUS.
What I understood, and Mark was supposed to fill us in to the extent that he could release his plans. From what I understand, the original petition was not actually written by lawyers. It was written by civilians and would amount to legal paralegals doing
right.
the best that they could to put together a petition, which makes it remarkable that it got as far as it did.
Right.
So now they have Mark Small, who is actually an attorney practicing in Indiana, He is an appellate attorney, from what I can tell. And apparently they are going to be refining their arguments and will be representing to the courts. I don't know exactly how they're going to evolve it in order to make it different enough to be reconsidered, but apparently they have a plan.
Wow. I think that's, like you said, with Comey's testimony this morning and the fact that there clearly is an investigation going on and that this is an ongoing issue in so many different areas of our government.
And this has nothing to do with party. This is stuff going on that one party benefited and appears to be a little sluggish to be offended by the process. But in fact, this is an apolitical problem. We were essentially invaded without even knowing it. We were Pearl Harbored without anyone seeing the bombs.
Right. Right. And that is, it is a new premise, but it's just a fascinating premise. And that's why I decided to cover the story, because I just thought this is something that I don't know why other people aren't covering it, because it's so interesting and it raises more questions than it offers answers.
Well, you know, I was telling Kirsten that when you look at Occupy Wall Street, for the first 2 weeks, nobody covered it. The only person that was even talking about it was Keith Olbermann. For 2 weeks. Until finally the mainstream media started picking up the story because they persisted to use a word that's now in common parlance. but that's, you know, for 2 weeks, they were there every day. They were occupying the park and only Keith Olbermann was talking about it. And, you know, this is one of those things that I think that they had. I mean, as soon as I saw the digested version, because I'm not a lawyer, I didn't go through the whole legal stuff. But the whole premise of a cyber invasion, this struck me as a really intriguing premise that I think deserved a legal argument, an open legal argument, to establish is there such a thing as cyber territory, and if there is, was it invaded, and if there isn't, then what did happen? I mean, this is an important issue, I think. I'm amazed.
And even if this case doesn't ultimately become successful or ultimately, if SCOTUS does not ultimately agree to hear this case, I encourage anyone out there who has a cybersecurity case that could potentially bring about a legal definition of whether or not it is territory to bring it in the lower courts to the higher courts, wherever it is appropriate in that jurisdiction to file, because we've got to get this settled. I mean, this is something that we're a little bit behind the eight ball on this, because here we are already having been invaded, and we don't even know whether to call it U.S. territory.
And the problem is, one of the problems, is that you have to have standing to bring a case, and establishing standing is tricky. You can't just be any citizen having a grievance against some electoral or government process unless you are personally affected by it in some way. And they've never accepted the argument that the presidential election results personally affect you. That doesn't give you standing.
Yes.
Like if they want to seize your property, that gives you standing. So standing is a big deal, which is one of the reasons I'm surprised that this writ got as far as it did.
Yes. And it's what they were saying is that there is no remedy. This was an invasion, and they were petitioning, but they were not petitioning against anyone. They were petitioning against the government.
They were petitioning for a new election going back to the primaries, which, of course, is not what the court necessarily would have ordered. I mean, the court at that point is God. So you ask for the maximum. The court could have just turned over the election to Hillary, or they could have said, let's do a do-over. I mean, the court could have done anything between nothing and ordering everything to start over back to the primaries.
Mm-hmm.
That's what courts do. Let's see who would be up next. Wayne, Bob? Let's see if Wayne maybe wants to talk about this topic a little bit and maybe ask questions, and we'll try to answer them as best we can. Wayne, you back on?
Yeah, I'm back on.
Okay.
Mike, how you doing?
Okay, so this is really what I wanted to talk about. Unfortunately, Shannon, as a reporter, has been covering it but is not privy to the inside. I don't believe so. Yeah, Shannon is essentially a guest now. So, Wayne, have you been following that part of the discussion to this point?
Yeah, what I could hear of it, John. It's been fading in and out. Yeah. Like I said, I hadn't been really keeping up with that. But I heard it said that they denied it in the Supreme Court, right?
They denied the petition to have it heard in open court, and they're going to be trying to repetition from a slightly different angle. So the issue is not dead, but this particular petition is dead.
Okay. Well, when Comey was talking today, and he kind of laid out the administration there and said that, yeah, they are up on the investigation, but he couldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
You think that's maybe why they denied it?
Well, as Shannon pointed out, the actual conference about whether or not to hear oral arguments on the petition actually occurred on Friday.
Okay.
I would have hoped that, knowing that the hearings were coming, the judges might have waited until there was more evidence out in the open that might weigh in their consideration, but apparently Friday was enough for them.
Well, and also the attorney had filed a request for a session.
Hello? Yeah, I'm sorry, Shannon, I think either we need your volume up or you need to get closer to your phone, maybe.
Okay, let's see. Is that better?
Are you on speakerphone, Shannon?
I am not on speaker.
Okay, well, Wayne, do you have stuff going on in your background?
No, because the radio wasn't playing, so.
Okay, all right, well, we'll do the best we can. So, Shannon, go ahead. Let's do the best we can here.
So the attorney had requested a special master, which is essentially a special investigator who would be appointed by the court, and the court would that investigator would. I'm hearing feedback. I'm doubling myself.
All right, Wayne, we're going to put you on hold to see if that's where the background sound is coming from, if that's okay, and then we'll turn you back on. Okay, Wayne on hold. Go ahead, Shannon.
Is that better?
Yes, that is better. Oh, so it's Wayne's background noise, whatever.
Okay. So one of the requests of the court was that they appoint this special master. And I think that perhaps because the other investigation is going on, because we've got the Senate Intel Committee, we've got the House Intel Committee, we've got various intelligence organizations and the law enforcement agencies, the Department of Justice, everyone is investigating this, and so the Supreme Court justices were probably thinking, you know, do we really want to start another investigation from scratch when we already have all of these going on? So for the sake of efficiency, that might have been the reason it was declined. I mean, they could have sent it back to the lower court. They could have done any number of things, but one of the reasons they might have declined it is because they didn't want to appoint this special master and double up, triple up, quadruple up on all of the federal investigations.
Now, from my experience with the courts, which were limited, thank God, and relatively unhappy, I thought that a master was basically like an assistant judge.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about a Supreme Court special master is a different thing, more like an investigative judge.
Well, someone who would collect all of the facts about the case. Exactly. It's just the semantics. So when I say investigator, it's not a detective that's out there on the streets. But, yeah, so it's an assistant who would be in charge of collecting all of the facts regarding the case.
So I guess from your explanation, which makes a certain amount of sense, rather than simply postpone a decision on the petition, I guess they have to schedule their court dates, which I think start, in late summer?
Uh-huh.
And I guess they just decided the time was not ripe in a legal sense for this petition to be heard. And I would hope that perhaps if the petition comes to them again, perhaps in a different way, that maybe they would be willing to fit it into their schedule if it looks urgent enough. We'll see.
Right. Definitely. I mean, there are so many different angles from which you can take this this argument, and it does fall under the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court of the United States, and very, very few situations all have a original jurisdiction under the Supreme Court, but Title 28, Section 1251 says that they, they've got the jurisdiction. So it will be interesting to see the case that they refile and the angle that they take, whether they ask for the special master again. To see what they can convince the Supreme Court, whether they can convince the Supreme Court to hear arguments beyond the briefs that they are filing. Yeah.
Well, I'm not inclined to let this story go, and I will see if I can put together something a little tighter for next week. We'll see. But next week I'll have a backup show just in case. Let me do a quick station ID. This is Think Wing Radio with Mike Honig on KPFT 90.1 FM in Houston. Bob Gartner is on controls. You can support KPFT by clicking on the donor, the tip jar, whatever they're calling it these days, and contributing whatever you can. We are 100% listener supported. My website is thinkwingradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at thinkwingradio. I've got Shannon Fisher, who writes, I don't know if you're freelancing and happen to be writing for the Daily Kos, or are you like a regular reporter for the Daily Kos?
No, whenever I choose. So I'm just freelancing, and I just decided to take up the course, take up the investigation and report on it, and I thought the Daily Kos would be a great place to put it. The traction that it gained was fascinating to me. I mean, you get 55,000 Facebook shares.
Wow.
And nobody else is covering it. This is what I, so I'm glad that you're doing the show. I'm glad that you are pursuing this and you're going to bring Mark back next week to get the real legal argument. I'm sorry that I don't have all of the...
Well, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your calling in half an hour into the show because, this was something that I wanted to talk about, publicize, get people to think about, discuss, wonder, and I appreciate your kind of filling in the gap for me. Do you want to give people your Twitter in case they want to follow you?
Sure. If you want to follow me, I am Ms. Shannon Fisher, which is just MS Shannon Fisher. He linked to my article, and there's a link to my Twitter from the article on the Daily Kos. So,
great.
Through navigating from me and to you, all of the listeners, they'll be able to find both of us and the piece up online.
Okay, let's get back to Wayne for a minute, and I'll let him wrap his ideas up, and then we're going to get to Jerry. Wayne, you're back.
Hey, Mike. Yeah, thank you. I got a good chance to listen to her, and she makes pretty good sense. But I hope they stick with it and do bring back the case in another way and see how it goes and keep us abreast of it, like you said, Mike, so
okay.
We can follow it a little bit more.
Well, I will be trying to stay on top of it, so you'll be hearing about it more from me.
Okay.
All right. Take
all right,
care, Wayne.
Good night.
Thank you for putting up with all the stuff.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Good night. Okay, next up is Jerry. Jerry, you're on the air. How you doing tonight? It's been a strange night for me, production-wise.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it was a little awkward there, but, sometimes these things happen.
Well, that's what happens when you have a limited staff and a guest issue. You know, it's not like you have three assistant producers that can go out and try to find somebody.
No, that's true.
Okay, so... What's on your mind? What do you think about the issue with the writ? What do you think about Comey's testimony?
Oh, Comey's testimony. I don't know. I think that, I think that right now the court's not looking to pick any fights with Trump necessarily. I suspect there's going to be a lot of fights with Trump coming up. But there's going to be a lot of legal issues there.
There was like an article... I'm sorry, there was an article in The Atlantic called It's Official, the FBI is Investigating Trump's Links to Russia. And the lead sentence is a killer. It says, with just two sentences on Monday, FBI Director James Comey cast a long, dark shadow over the presidency of Donald Trump and the campaign that resulted in his election. And then it goes on to talk about how the Republicans seem more concerned about how they obtained the information than the fact that the information itself is so damning.
Yeah. Yeah, they're trying to do the same kind of thing they did with the Benghazi thing. They're trying to make up stuff and misdirect people and all that. And, in fact, one of those guys is one of the Benghazi guys on the Republican side.
Well, actually, they're doing the reverse of Benghazi. You know, they're trying to say nothing to see here, nothing to see here. Benghazi, it's like they had a carnival barker. Hey, there's something in here. There's something in here. Just two bits will get you to see what's in here.
You notice that Republicans have dropped that whole Benghazi thing like a hot rock. They haven't wanted to talk about it one bit.
Well, they don't need it because Hillary is in the background. So it's like, okay, no Benghazi. We don't care if four Americans were killed now. We only cared about it before. Yeah,
well,
hypocrites.
Basically that was ridiculous from the get-go, and this is what you're going to see, is you're going to see us wasting a remarkable amount of time and energy and perhaps even money going after will-o'-the-wisps, stuff that, that probably doesn't exist, like I said, that Trump just makes up. But, of course, because he's president now, we're going to be morally obligated to go and check every last little ridiculous thing that he wants to, that he sits there and says.
What do you think about the interaction between Trump and Angela Merkel? That, I keep just being amazed in my head, and Shannon, you can comment if you want to on this. It's just amazing to me that of all the countries that suddenly look like they're going to be the defender of liberal democracy and leader of the free world while the United States sorts its craziness out. 70 years ago, who would have dreamed it might be Germany?
I know.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's unbelievable. It's like the world is totally going crazy, but it's fascinating watching the flow of history into the unexpected.
Right, absolutely. And at the joint press conference that they held when he said some whoppers and she gave him the side eye, and I was thinking as I had that visual that it's a visual metaphor for kind of the way that the world is looking at the United States right now.
Well, when Abe visited from Japan, there was actually a moment with the handshake thing where they caught him on video looking away and rolling his eyes. This is now America, the roll your eyes at us country.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
And I know.
I think they always rolled their eyes at us. I just think that they didn't do it when they were happening. He happened to be on camera shaking president's hands with the president of the United States.
Well, there may have been some eye rolling, but it was over different stuff. And it wasn't over and I'm going to use small c, the Constitution of the American government. Just the government is constituted now of such strange, crazy, fascistic, racist, possibly treasonous people. I mean, it really, I have a pretty big vocabulary and I just run out of words.
It boggles.
It boggles. Thank you. It boggles.
Yeah, it does boggle your mind. I'll give you that. But my take on that is that, this was an inevitable thing with Trump getting in there. And also it's inevitable too, more broadly with the Republicans, because a lot of stuff that they want to do, it's like I've said, and like actually a number of other people up there at the station have said, is they're going to do a number on a whole bunch of people that voted for them, and they want them to vote for them again.
You know what? One of the things that I want to point out to people, if they haven't already figured it out, the Republicans have talked a good game about, we're the working people's party and free enterprise and jobs and economic growth. But now you're seeing what they've always believed, what they've always wanted to do, and now they think they can get away with doing it. And it's doing things like cutting Social Security, cutting food stamps, cutting the arts, cutting the sciences, cutting veterans. This is the stuff they've always wanted to do. They've wanted to do it since Roosevelt, and they finally have an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I happen to agree with you on that, but the thing about it is this was inevitable. And even people like Barry came on and admitted it. Barry pretty much came right out and said, he did it more than once, too, in different ways. This is what we want. This is what we're going to do. And, and we're going to laugh all the way to the bank, I guess.
Well, the problem is that, it's kind of like Rachel Maddow has been saying she's ignoring Donald Trump's tweets and ignoring the news conferences. And instead of listening to what they say, we're just going to watch what they do. And that's what the American people need to be doing now and need to have been doing for the last 30 years. Don't listen to what the Republicans say. They'll say anything to be elected. They'll say anything to slime their opponent. I'm not saying the Democrats are saints. They're not. But by and large, it's a Republican thing. And watch what they do, not what they say. This applies to everybody and every politician, every manager, every business person. Watch what they do, not what they say.
Yeah.
Okay, we're running out of time. So, Jerry and Shannon, I'm going to give each of you a turn to wrap up. Jerry, how do you want to wrap up?
Well, I just wanted to wrap up by saying, you know, you shouldn't get, you know, basically it's easy to get exhausted in this stuff. You know, there's always another supposed scandal or problem or something. You know, I think you're right. I think you need to keep your powder dry and pay attention to what's actually what they're doing.
What they're doing.
And what they're trying to do and not so much what any particular person is saying at any particular point. But anyway, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Okay, Shannon, you want to give yourself a plug before we go and wrap up any thoughts you have?
I don't really need to plug myself, but I just I want to plug that the listeners out there, as all of these things are unfolding, to kind of echo what he just said, to take the salacious nature out of it and really look at it from a governmental perspective and research what this means and what this means for our democracy, all of every aspect that happens, but in a completely nonpartisan way. And I think that we as American citizens can learn a lot from watching all of this unfold.
I hope that we come out of this okay, and I hope that if we come out of this okay, we approach the world with a new sense of humility about just how wrong government can go.
Yes.
Anywhere. Hopefully we'll be a little bit more humbled, and the world hopefully will think better of us at the end.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Shannon Fisher, for calling and helping me out for the last half of the show, and we'll try again next week.
Happy to do it. All right, have a good one.
All right, you too. Take care. All right, so it is now time for my closing quote. It is hopeful. It is a German quote which was translated by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow into English, and it goes like this. Though the mills of God grind slowly, yet they grind exceeding small, though with patience he stands waiting with exactness. He grinds all. So that basically means good things come to them that wait. We shall see. I apologize for the slow start of the show. These things happen. I'll talk to you next week. Hopefully we'll be able to do the show I planned. If not, I'll do a different show than what I planned. Everyone have a great week. I'll talk to you next Monday. Take care.
Stay tuned for Jazz Latino. We'll have a interim of some recorded music. Juan is looking for his magic carpet.
Houston Renewable Energy Group invites you to their monthly solar installation workshop. This workshop addresses all issues related to installation and operation, ideal for those with a technical background or do-it-yourselfers in need of guidance or troubleshooting with their solar installation project. Workshops take place at TXRX Labs, 205 Roberts Street, Houston, Texas 77003, on the last Friday of each month, except for July and December, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. For more information, visit eventbrite.com and search Houston Renewable Energy Group or email info@houstonrenewableenergy.org. KPFT Houston.
A As a KPFT listener, you have a special opportunity to shorten on-air fundraising by pre-pledging securely online at kpft.org before the on-air portion of the drive begins. We count on listeners like you to contribute to the success of each fund drive, and we thank you for your generous and continued support of KPFT. Since listeners' support is what sustains the station, on-air pledge drives are necessary to inspire other KPFT listeners to become listener supporters. But wouldn't it be nice if the on-air portion of the pledge drive were a bit shorter? With your online gift, you can help shorten the on-air drive so we can get you back to the KPFT programming you enjoy. Pre-pledge securely on the on-air drive so we can get you back to the KPFT programming you enjoy. Pre-pledge securely on